October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and my next guest is a advocate against domestic violence. She was married at age 18 and stayed married to an abusive husband for 13 years. Her name is Darla Collinette, and she's a Christian speaker on abusive relationships and author of the book, Who's Writing Your Life Story? Welcome to the show, Darla.
Me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for being here with us today. And we would love to hear about your story, because the only way to teach other people is if we have learned something and we're able to bring it back to the table and share it with others. So I appreciate your being part of the conversation and sharing your story with us. So tell us about domestic violence and your story.
Domestic violence is a result of what we think about ourselves and what we come to accept as normal and okay in our lives. So let's give an example of this. You have several different families, and it can be whether they're believers or whether they're not believers, but if you grow up in a family where the woman is respected and valued, and she is encouraged and supported in what she chooses to do, you grow up with that mentality of saying, okay, you grow up in broken homes and families where women are degraded to explode on, or something that you just use and, you know, kind of push aside, then in your mind you're thinking, okay, that's the way it needs to be. And in our lives, our parents come from brokenness. They do the best they can, just like we do the best we can, but we still pass on those beliefs and those extended habits or things that we have deemed okay. And we don't realize of the effect that that has on people and their children and your mind as you go through things. I was born in California, but at the age of 8 months, I actually was moved to Iran with my dad. He worked in the service, and we lived there. But my mom went through terrible emotional and, depression. Because of my birth, because of her abuse that she received in her life and that she just couldn't handle life. My dad wasn't present either because he was always gone. And so I was raised by our maid, and that caused a whole nother issue of things too. But what I learned in my childhood and through time, and then finally getting to the U.S. when I was six, was, you know, I was pretty invisible and nobody could hear me and see me, and it wasn't that they had that in their heart. It was just the damage in their lives that they continue to go on mine. So as I grew up, I just started accepting less value of myself and less things. And I was date raped at the age of 15, which was very traumatic, but it was traumatic what my father couldn't handle it. And several comments he said to me, which again devalued me. So I learned to accept that, you know, whatever I got, I was lucky to have.
Mm.
And I was so love-starved at this point in my life that I, you know, reached out to whoever and whatever was available. And this is where it's very, very dangerous for young girls. Even if you're raised in a great family where you have support and you have love, if you have no idea what it looks like to run into a person who can be abusive, then you are caught very unaware. And I've seen this over and over with many women too. They think they can, you know, help the man because, you know, they definitely need help. They think that they are the center of his attention because they're very charismatic at the beginning, you know. Mm-hmm. They can give compliments, gifts. They say they want to protect you. And especially at vulnerable ages when we're young, and if our fathers aren't around to be this protector and be this support for us, we are very, very likely to start going into these abusive relationships. So it's very, very tricky, you know, where we're at. And that's where I ended up.
Right.
Are you saying
that domestic violence can be, I'm not saying is, but can be a result of upbringing and basically the role models you've had in your life?
Absolutely. I think it stems from four things. It stems from our unawareness of what abuse is. I don't know about you, but I was never sat down and say, here's the seven definitions of abuse and the kinds that are, and this is what it looks like. I don't know anybody that has been sat down and, you know, and receive that education. It's also awareness that as we all grow up, we think our life is the way everybody's life is. So we have no concept that it is different for other people. And then the other awareness is, what is the true definition of pure love and marriage, and how does that look? You know, is there a wonderful, pure definition of how that looks? So that's the unawareness. Then there's the whole brokenness of, you know, where we came from and what our lack is in our life. For me, it was the love and the value and the purpose. So these are the ones that were tough for me. And then there's the lack, like you said, of role models that are good and healthy, of teaching. And then there's the commitment. You know, what do we want to do in our lives? Are we just going to be a victim and let things happen to us? Or are we going to commit and say, I want to learn, I want to grow, and I want to be better? You know, I want the best for my life.
Many women are not necessarily aware of the fact that they're victims, right? They are comfortable in this world. And they feel that, you know, in fact, some people feel that that's love when someone is assertive to you. What can we do in our conversation right now to clearly define what that abusive, domestic abusive awareness in women should be? What should you not accept as a person married to another person in a relationship?
Any disrespect, that's words, language, any of those things. Any time that he wants to come in and control all your money, all your assets, or prevent you from working and establishing a career for yourself or an identity for yourself. Anytime there's isolation, that is a number one flag when he just wants to keep you to himself, not have you talk to your friends, your family, and cuts you off. That is huge right there. And jealousy. Jealousy is, you know, one of those things. I agree with you, though. We have come to accept a lot of things in life now in society, and that's where I'm an advocate saying, without any true moral compass and without getting back to total respect of one another, we are going to continue down this road. And that's my goal, is to have people stop and say, wait a minute. If we don't start having true lines of moral compasses and values and respect, then anything's acceptable. And we just keep degrading our marriages, our relationships, our families, our communities, and our world.
Right.
And I don't want to see that continue to happen.
How do we heal? Because if you are in this position, a lot of times you're not even aware of the fact that you are a victim. How do you recognize that you are a victim, number one, and how do you begin the process of healing?
I think the number one thing you need to do is the awareness. So we need to make it more apparent with people like me who are saying, this is what abuse is. If your loved one says, you know, he loves you, and then yet he shoves you and he degrade you all the time, then you need to start being aware of what that abuse is. And part of this too is, where is their value coming from? If they believe they have no other options and no other value but what this person is giving them, they won't look to anything else. We in society just keep telling everybody to just deal with things and deal with things, but we've got to, as women, now stand up. And I think it's easier now in this time than it ever has been in the last 10 or 20 years to stand up and say, I don't have to do this. I am not totally controlled by the man anymore. But, you know, in society, it still is. Look at the Hollywood scandals that's still going on. you know, people are saying, why did women keep doing this? But my question is, why did these men in power and authority think it was okay for them to manipulate, to threaten, and to use these women for their desires, regardless of what it did to them? I think as a society, part of what we need to start doing with our children who are males too, is to start saying, what are we saying to them about women? You know, what is okay with women, and how should we treat our women? Because it is important. So it's a whole society switch of, we've got to start becoming aware that we're really disrespecting one another, and it's no different than bullying or any other thing that goes against the integrity and person, that we're hurting people, and we have, you know, we've got to stop. So women have to become aware that this is the definition of abuse. The healing part of it, for me, the only way I healed was through my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way I am still alive, and I know that for truth. And it is a process, just like any other process that we try to change in our lives, any other habit, it doesn't happen overnight. So we have to look at, where did our beliefs come from? How are those lining up with making us better people and having healthy relationships? So we have to start changing those and making those to be true and to be uplifting.
And I think sensitivity classes are important, right? I mean, it's not just a matter of a discussion at home. I think it needs to be in school. I think it needs to be in the workplace, so that people are respectful of each other at the end of the day. Because what we have that's lacking is this conversation that allows everyone to openly talk about their feelings, talk about what is truth from their perspective, talk about what hurt and pain is, talk about what is acceptable. Long ago, there used to be etiquette classes, right? We don't have those things anymore, but certainly we need to have that kind of sensitivity training across the board, where women and men understand, you know, what hurts and what doesn't, what's right and what's not. And and I think that will create a certain amount of greater discourse of understanding in our world, if that happens.
Yes. Yes, and I believe, especially if you start at junior high and high school age, because like I said, when you come up through life, and I'm sure in your family, you just think everybody's life is like yours. Your parents are like your parents. You know, this is the way it is. And as we start coming together into a classroom setting and start saying, okay, we all come from different varieties and different social upbringings, and what is really respect, you know? And sometimes that doesn't happen in our families, but that doesn't mean we can't choose this.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
Show them the difference.
Yeah. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon and sharing your story. I truly appreciate it. And I wish you well in your journey. And I hope you continue to inspire women and men to live more wholesome lives.
Yes. Thank you. I really, really appreciate the opportunity to share with your audience.
Absolutely. My pleasure.